Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries is joining me today.
Good morning.
And Dr. Swanson is the founder of Endurance Ministries. He has dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them. You know, the truth that matters and sound biblical teaching. His ministry addresses current cultural affairs in light of eschatological, almost could not get that out, eschatological end times data in God's Word. And he's one of my favorite guests, as he's not afraid to speak to issues facing us as Christians in these tumultuous times. And I know I can always count on him for strong biblical teaching. And, you know, before my guests and I go on the air, we always take time to pray over our time for the Holy Spirit to not only provide us with wisdom and discernment, but a heart of Christ. We ask for the heart of Christ and for our listening audience to have ears to hear and a heart to receive. And that's what Heart of the Savior Ministries is all about, because you hear us always say at the end of the program, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father, and that you'll make His Word, the Bible, Scripture, the every breath that you take. And that comes with reading the Word of God, to renewing of our minds daily, minute by minute, the ability to face the day with the truth that matters, and a divine endowment to endure and stand when faced with strong adversity, to speak the truth in love to those around us, and a peace beyond all understanding in the midst of a storm. And with that said, I wish to open with Psalm 1. And this psalm in the New King James Version is titled, The Way of the Righteous and the End of the Ungodly. So let's begin in His Word today with Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
That he does, he knows. What a psalm. It sure speaks to Sweet Truth Foundations, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, good morning, Leslie. Say, you know me as one by God's grace, having the gift of teaching. I have a question for you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yes, you know, I just hate this.
The question is, are you ready for another pop quiz?
No, 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 no. You know, for those of you who have not heard John before, he was a professor at Oregon College of Ministry when I was a student there, and he just loved to try to get me. And we used to sit in class, and suddenly we'd hear, I have a pop quiz for you. And I want you to know, John, past students do listen to this program and have let me know. They just love the fact that I'm on the hot seat when you pull this on me. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to know, and they laugh at me, but that's okay. I'll get them someday. And for you folks, I was one of the students who always sat in the back of the room in hopes that I could melt into the wall and so I wouldn't be picked. And I'm here to tell you, it didn't work. You know, so what is it this time, John?
Okay, well, here it is. What is this, Leslie?
You are showing me a 10 of spades card.
Okay, so you're not opposed to calling a spade then?
No.
No, good, okay.
Well, and I like to play pinochle and canasta.
All right, okay. Very good. Well, how do you know it's a spade, though? That's kind of the part of the pop quiz.
I guess because I've been told all my life that that symbol on there is a spade, but my spade at home in my garden doesn't look like that.
Right. This is a very different spade, but it has a different definition, doesn't it?
It does.
A very clear one. And that's, I guess, what I'm getting to. The definition of a spade is clear to all those who engage in the game. It's a given if one does not accept the definition, one doesn't play or can't. It just becomes chaos. Likewise, Bible-believing followers of Jesus Christ accept the definitive, the definitions to very important aspects that are found in the Word of God, as in the Word of God is that which defines. So it's our authority voice, our dictionary, if you would. Two very important things. So like calling a spade in this case, from a deck of cards, I would also like to say it's important that in our day and age, we call a spade when it comes to speakers or world views that are put forth as end time appeals, for example, that are potentially false, that do not measure up to the definitive standard. And so it's important that we take that time to just say, well, that's a spade. So I'm thankful that you're willing to call a spade, but in light of the explicit biblical truths, how do we go? So let's persist, Leslie, in calling a spade. In other words, if a view is not true to God's revelation, let's expose it.
Okay. And you know, I have for years tried to come up with an acronym for POP, and I've come up with Profound Opportunity too, but that doesn't quite fit, nor Proper Options or Pleasant, because pop quizzes are never pleasant.
Never pleasant. Well, but sometimes they're very important. They have import. They have huge intention. Some are of more eternal significance than others. But I guess that's the point that I'd like to emphasize today. We are discussing eternally significant matters.
Thank you for reminding me. And I know that our conversation today will be enlightening, but it is extremely important with regard to eternal matters.
Yes, because forever is just that, Leslie. It's eternal in duration. So the doctrine, in this case, the doctrine of just who Jesus Christ is indeed crucial. It's the definitive source, the Word of God, that allows us some insight. For example, it says if one does not hold to the correct doctrine of Christ, this person does not have God. So today, let's be specific in our approach in this topic of the correct doctrine of Christ. And the topic that we'd like to address today is Islam and Islam's fundamental error, which is this: the Quranic and other Islamic teachings concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Yeah, the Muslim position. I'm not sure if many discern this, but the Muslim position on the person of Christ is actually of the spirit of Antichrist. Leslie, could I use a kind of a recent blog that we've posted online for a small portion of this broadcast?
Please.
It's found on currentmatters.org, and it's blog 16:15. So here it is. While ministering on a, I'll quote now, while ministering on a university campus this past week, I discerned tension from some due to my wearing a t-shirt that I have on today with the Arabic N on it. Now, why would a simple N on a t-shirt raise concern from sincere Muslims? Well, it's tied to terrible persecution against those who are true born-again followers of Jesus Christ and Nazarene. You may have seen some general stories behind this story, like, for example, on the Voice of the Martyrs website. There are others, too, that also are testifying about these evils, these persecutions against those who are simply taking a stand for Jesus Christ. I am a follower of the Nazarene. But why would something like this, my wearing a t-shirt that has an N on it, bring offense? Well, here's the scoop. Here's the threat undermining the heart of our Savior. According to historical tradition, early Christians at times identified themselves as followers of Jesus Christ by the fish symbol. This fish symbol is still used today. The letters ichthus spell out the word fish in Koine Greek. You remember some of our Greek courses.
Yeah.
The individual letters represent eternally significant names tied to the person of Jesus Christ. For example, Jesus, Jesus, Christos, Christ, Theou, Hia, Huias, God's Son, Sater, Savior. Islam labels these very names for the historical Jesus of Nazareth as heresy. So according to faithful Muslims,
Okay.
Yeah. According to, now, we're on True Talk Radio. We're speaking truthfully. According to faithful Muslims, Jesus is not the Christ. He's not the divine Messiah. Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, the eternal Word made flesh, the creator of all things. And Jesus Christ is not the Savior who died on the cross for the sins of mankind. Well, the Word of God actually calls this Muslim perspective, quote, of the spirit of Antichrist, unquote. And you can go to 1 John, especially chapters 2 and 4, that address this very specific thing. Islam continues to reject Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior before Almighty God, Yahweh. Well, as a result, Scripture says, not John Swanson, not pastors, not teachers, but the Word of God says Muslims do not have God. And we can even go to 1 John 5 and 2 John that speak very clearly to this reality. We're talking about eternally significant things here. They, devout Quran-following Muslims, are a part of the growing spirit of Antichrist movement around the globe, seeking to conquer ideologically those whose lives still hang in the balance, spiritually speaking. So, truly, truly, I say to you, like, you know, these are the words of God. The Muslim position concerning the greatest human to walk the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, this Muslim perspective is most dark indeed. Which kind of ties to our title. The title of our session today highlights this concern. The title being, Threats Undermining the Heart of the Savior, Part 1 on Islam. And by the way, next week we'll address another threat, the false blood moon prophecies that are so popular today. So join us next week at the same hour.
Yes, please do, because I know there are a lot of people concerned about that one too.
Very important topic, again, because this, some of the very authors that speak to this issue of blood moons and fulfillments to some of these passages are saying we got to be ready. Well, their teaching is actually contributing to unpreparedness, ill readiness, but that's for next week.
Good, okay.
Well, back to Islam. Islam denies the top essential aspects of the Savior for humanity's salvation, and it does so in these ways. So again, let me kind of say it in a little different way, but kind of repetition for the sake of emphasis. Number one, Islam rejects Jesus is the Christ, the divine Messiah or Savior for all mankind. Jesus Christ is called Emmanuel, God with us. See, it's God who saves. Number two, Quranic Islam holds the following as blasphemy. Quote, the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the eternal Word made flesh, unquote. Now, this is different than denial number one, in that number one emphasizes the doctrine of the Savior and salvation, whereas the second aspect, or denial, points to, focuses attention on the doctrine of God, namely that God is triune. It's pretty important stuff. We're talking about essential doctrines of spirituality. The third reason Islam is a very serious opposition to our Savior, to horrific proportions, I'm not exaggerating, it's this. Islam rejects the divine provision God has made for forgiveness of sin, Jesus Christ's death on the cross. Through the shedding of His blood, the sins of mankind are paid for, but one must accept this provision, this gift, in order to enjoy it. Well, Islam rejects these eternal truths. And one final denial of eternal truths forever settled in heaven, Leslie, if I could. Thanks for letting me go long-winded here.
No, I'm quite all right with that.
Well, Islam states God's people in Jesus Christ are enemies. Thus, the many examples of persecution and martyrdom around the world, especially of late.
And there certainly has been an upswing in these types of events happening. And, you know, you can't read the newspaper or watch the news without hearing about yet another horrific attack against Christians. And, John, I guess my question to you is, are there other threats present, you know, in our global culture, which also undermine our precious Savior's heart?
There are, and actually they're also tied to expressions of the spirit of Antichrist. So it's an important time that the Christian community better discern these many deceptions, because again, they're of eternal significance. But this is especially able to take place, that is, our discerning it, when one is born again. See, upon new birth, the Spirit of God enters our being and allows for divine illumination concerning, in this case, discernment. So for the sake of our yet-to-believe listening audience, who might not, who haven't gone through new birth. Look, can we tag team, share the gospel at this time and kind of, take turns in kind of painting the picture as to what this gospel, what this good news is, and how to enter into a new birth, an eternal birth with God through Jesus Christ?
Absolutely. And, you know, this shouldn't be intimidating, John, but since you were a professor, it certainly is, because I never want to be wrong, you know. But who can be wrong about our Savior Jesus Christ, you know?
Well, that's so precious about the written Word of God. It's our map. It's our standard. It's our plumb line. And it's our sweet truth foundation with a capital T truth.
Well, it is. And I know for myself, and recently just having gone through a very, I don't even have the right words for it, a family crisis type thing.
Okay.
And heavy stress, knowing that I could just call out the name, you know, Jesus, and that peace would come, or I could just plea, you know, and know that he was pleading with the Father for me, you know, is amazing. And I don't know how people get through our hard times without having that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough, but without anything, the truth to hold on to that is secure, and you know that is in control. God is in control, even though the world is spinning around you out of control. Yeah. God is in control, and if you turn there, you know that you can sit back and rest in his arms and take his lead.
One expression of Romans 8 is that Jesus Christ, and even the Spirit, with words of groanings, intercedes on our behalf. And I wonder if part of that might not be the softening of heart to say yes to the gospel.
Well, you know, I think that's very true. I can tell you that I have felt like I could lean back into the chest of our Father God and hear his heartbeat. Until it became my heartbeat, and that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
So let's go for it.
Well, listening audience, those of you who are in Christ, rejoice, celebrate, because we can just today, given even 1 John 5, know that we have eternal life because we're in Christ. Well, those of you who have not said yes to this gift, just simply understand that this is not of works of men. It's a free gift from God that God himself provides through Jesus Christ, and that is the provision of forgiveness of sin through the death, the bloodshed of Jesus Christ on the cross, and then his resurrection victory over death. But one, as that is eternally secured, not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world, that's again from 1 John 2, one has to say yes to that gift. So we encourage people, even in simplicity, to say, yes, Lord Jesus Christ, save me. And in fact, that's an end-time passage. Those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's in Joel 2, but it's also even communicated in the book of Romans.
And it's not about works, and it's
right.
Not whether you're worthy or that you have to earn it. It is a free gift, and all you have to do is unwrap it. The bow is there. Just pull that ribbon, and it's there for you. It's free, no strings attached.
And what is another beautiful thing, this is not nebulous depending upon everyone's opinion as to what the gospel is. Again, we go to the Word of God for clearer revelation. But also, in addition to the gospel, he continues to say the grace is not exhausted at the cross. It continues on, whereby we continue our new lives in Christ, and God wants us to continue to grow.
Progressive sanctification. That's from school.
Yes. And it's interesting to note, as the Word of God is our authority for faith and practice, we have imputed righteousness of Christ. But the Scripture also talks about progressive justification, too, in James chapter 2.
Absolutely.
So we need to balance our doctrine, not in light of some systematic theology of the Baptists or the whatever. We need to go to the Word of God for the full counsel, because that allows us freedom from some of these bondages when we get into human traditions, which we'll talk about
human
next week.
Human traditions,
we'll
there you go.
We'll talk about that, yeah. So we are graced with some beautiful ministry through Endurance Ministries. And, you know, I've written a book. We make that available, but we also have a lot of great information on the websites. Do you mind if I just share a couple of those?
Would you please?
Yes, thank you, Leslie, because our heart of passion is to follow that of the heart of the Savior as far as protective ministry, the importance of sound doctrine in this day of relative truth. Some of these things are communicated on these websites, so thank you. I've already made reference to our currentmatters.org, where we have some good things posted there, including our blogs, which are very meaty blogs.
Yes, they are. And what you quoted earlier was one of those blogs. It was B1615.
Right.
Yeah.
The issue of how the major Islamic doctrine is actually communicating the spirit of Antichrist. Another important website is that of www.endmin.com. It has a lot of the frequently asked questions, and then from there you can get into seven or eight different websites. So I'd encourage you to go there. We also are very free to talk with people by way of email. So email me at jonswanson@msn.com. Would love to engage with you over some questions that you have concerning end time matters that are expressing themselves today. Pretty cool stuff.
Pretty cool stuff.
It is. It is. Yeah.
You know, I can't thank you enough for this informative time today. I'm not sure I've had anyone explain Islam as well as you have to me, succinctly and clearly and yet graciously and respectfully, actually, John. I have to tell you, it was done incredibly respectfully. But it's the truth that you share.
We are accurately representing the Muslim perspective, but we love Muslims, and we want them to come to the Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is the only way, the truth, the life.
So next week, we're going to talk again, but this time it's going to be about the threats undermining the heart of our Savior, Part 2. But it's going to be on that lovely blood moon prophecy appeal that we're hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
I know I've had a lot of questions come to me asking me to do something on that, and you have stepped right up to the plate for us. And so I thank you, and I can hardly wait for that time together.
And maybe as the fourth and final blood moon comes, we could try to get open air, you know, as opposed to pre-recording.
That would be great, possible. Because then we could have call-ins, and we're going to try and do that, and that would be in September. And the last Saturday in September and the first Saturday in October.
Correct.
Because the first Saturday in October will be the follow-up to what should have happened the weekend before, right?
Exactly. 28th of September.
You know, following Christ does have a cost to it. And, oh, you know, John, what a glorious cost it is. Eternal life with our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, he is my Savior and Redeemer, and I am truly one of those who have felt his grace on my life. Certainly feel like you shouldn't be allowed to have that, but boy, it's lovely to receive it and be filled with that love that's just indescribable. And so, folks, it's just simply calling on the name Lord Jesus Christ come into my heart. It's forgive me for my sins. There's that piece of repentance. I know that can be hard. But, you know, if the Lord, I learned a good lesson, if the Lord could forgive someone else for something they did to me, he certainly could forgive me for mine, too. And and vice versa, if he could forgive me for some of the stuff I've done,
yeah.
Holy schmoly, he certainly can forgive others. And I have to look at them with the eyes of Christ.
Yes.
So if there's one comment before we close, what would that be? And could you close us in prayer?
Okay. The comment would be, dear Christian family, let's discern our day, for this cultural phenomenon of the growing spirit of Antichrist is one of the signs the word said would unfold before our Lord's return. So much for signs not preceding the rapture, Leslie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your beloved Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. As we honor him, Father, we honor you. As we obey him, Father, we love you. Thank you so much for gracing us with the means to obey you. We praise you. We thank you for that ongoing good work of Jesus Christ in our lives. We pray in your Son's glorious name. Amen.
So be sure and listen in next week for part two of our conversation. But for today, we do hope that you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father. And that you will make God's word the part of your every breath that you take this week. And as always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie and my guest, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries. We'll see you next Saturday.
Amen.